In the first pages of my book, Is Christmas Christian?, I remind readers that the early Christian pilgrims in America did not celebrate Christmas, in fact, forbade its observance. These were the same people who, on the Mayflower before stepping ashore on North America, wrote down and signed the Mayflower Compact. In it, they stated that they had undertaken this voyage to the New World, quote, for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith, end of quote. Quite obviously, they believed that the celebrating of Christmas had no part in the glorification of God or the advancement of the Christian faith. Acting as Christians, they forbade its celebration in Plymouth Colony. Evidence of that is in my book, Is Christmas Christian? These founders of Christianity in America believed they could not serve God and Christ's kingdom by any such celebration as Christmas. How about you, my Christian friend? Do you want to learn why the holy, Christ-honoring Christian pilgrims would have nothing to do with the December 25th festival we call Christmas? If so, don't turn that dial. You might even call a friend to listen. Also, in the first pages of my book, Is Christmas Christian?, I remind readers of the drunkenness and debauchery which is so much a part of the modern midwinter holiday time known as the Christmas season. Law enforcement statistics show us that the holiday season always shows an increase in burglaries, armed robberies, shoplifting, assault, family fights, murder, and even suicide. In the section on Santa Claus in my book, I quote Billy Graham as saying he knew of children who, once having learned Santa Claus was a myth, then thought that the Jesus Christ their parents had told them about must be a myth also. The Bible tells us that a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Jesus also told us we can know men by their fruit. In simple terms, if the result of something is wicked and evil, then that thing itself cannot be good. The general result, the fruit of the Christmas holiday season is not good, not Christian, for the mass of the people by any measure of God's word. That alone has caused many good Christian people to wonder about the holiday itself, and they should wonder. Last week I read a quote from Charles Haddon Spurgeon, quote, "We will keep such feasts as the Lord appoints, but not those which Rome or Canterbury may ordain. When it can be proved that the observance of Christmas, Whitsuntide, and other popish festivals was ever instituted by a divine statute, we also will attend to them, but not until then," end of quote. And that quote is in the literature that I will offer in just a few minutes. Charles Spurgeon said he would not celebrate Christmas, for the very simple reason that he was not commanded to do so by the Word of God. In fact, there is not one word or one phrase or one verse in all of the Holy Scripture that commands believers to observe the birthday of Jesus Christ in any manner whatsoever. As Charles Spurgeon pointed out, the Christian festival was an invention of the Roman Catholic Church, and he refused to acknowledge their authority to command Christians to observe that which God had not commanded. All right, I said we would discuss the pagan origin of the Christmas tree, the candles, and even the giving of gifts at Christmas time. I'll do that in a few moments, but first, there is quite a lot in here. My 30-page booklet is Christmas Christian, and in addition to that, quite a few sheets on which are collected statements by other men, by Spurgeon, by Arthur W. Pink, several newspaper articles, including one which specifically states that the Baptists in colonial New England did not celebrate Christmas. Did you Baptists hear that? I'll include the article which tells that the early Baptists, and remember, the Baptist denomination was founded in colonial New England in the 1600s by Roger Williams, and these early Baptists did not observe any such thing as the Christmas festival. By the way, so you'll know I'm not picking on the Baptists, the same newspaper article informs us that the Presbyterians of early New England did not observe Christmas either. That will all be in the Christmas packet. You may have that free. All of this material will be sent free and postpaid by return mail. Read these things for yourself. Get it in black and white, as it were. That Christmas literature will also include a poem titled My Un-Christmas Message. It is made out in the form of a card and gives in poetry the reasons why the author does not keep Christmas. If I have time at the end of the broadcast, I will read it. You'll get a printed copy of it anyway when you write and ask for it, and I'll repeat my address later in the program. All right, part of what follows is quoted directly from my booklet, Is Christmas Christian?, under the subheading, The Christmas Tree. We have reproduced in the book a drawing of an ancient statue of Nimrod, or Baal from Babylon, in which this heathen idol is holding a spotted deer with horns. He has wings so he can fly, as Santa does, and he is carrying a green fir tree. Then the text in the booklet goes on. We have already seen the origin of the tree with Nimrod, or Baal, which makes more significant the many times green tree is mentioned in the Bible in relation to idol worship and heathen gods. When Israel came into Canaan, they were ordered to destroy the heathen altars, groves, and graven images in Deuteronomy 7, and then in Deuteronomy 12, verse 2, ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains, and upon the hills, and under every green tree. That's Deuteronomy 12, verse 2. Among the scores of places in the Old Testament where Israel was warned against Baal worship, or the ways of the heathen, 9 of them specifically mention serving gods or worshiping under green trees. In most cases, other terrible abominations are listed to accompany these heathen practices, such as we read in Isaiah 57, verse 3 through 5. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore, against whom do ye sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks? End of quote from Isaiah 57. Green trees were of Baal worship, and Haley's Bible Handbook says of Baal worship, quote, priestesses were temple prostitutes, sodomites were male temple prostitutes, the worship of Baal, Ashtaroth, who was his wife, and other Canaanite gods consisted of the most extravagant orgies. Their temples were centers of vice. After reading that, you may more easily understand why the saloons, nightclubs, and other places where adulterers, whores, homosexuals, and other blasphemers congregate put up Christmas trees. Haley added information that showed the Baalites further consisted of murdering their firstborn children as a sacrifice to these same gods, and their temples upon excavation were found to be full of images and carvings of sex organs and pornographic paraphernalia. So Haley's Bible Handbook tells us that one of the major rituals of Baal worship was the killing of babies and offering them as sacrifice to Baal. Isaiah 57 says these baby sacrifices were offered under green trees. And I would beg to guess, and you can verify this yourself if you wish, that if you would visit any Planned Parenthood office in the United States, and Planned Parenthood is one of those organizations which steers young girls to the abortionists to have their babies killed, if you will visit any Planned Parenthood office in America, you will most likely find at this time of year a decorated green tree somewhere in evidence. They will, of course, call it a Christmas tree. You'll also find one in practically every bar and nightclub in America. According to the son of Madeline Murray O'Hare, a celebrated atheist who is trying to get all mention of the Christian Bible out of government and schools, atheist Madeline O'Hare loves Christmas carols and Christmas trees. He said of his mother, quote, she has the tree up in the house before anyone else in the community, end of quote. That was in an article on Madeline O'Hare in the National Enquirer, October 30th, 1979. And before I get off the subject of infant sacrifice under green trees as part of the ritual of Baal worship, perhaps some of you might wonder how come part of the ritual of Christmas is the placing of little dolls, which are images of babies, under a green Christmas tree. Now, there is nothing wrong with a little girl having a baby doll to play with. That is not evil in itself. They should have them, for after all, they have the mother instinct in them, and it should not be suppressed. However, there are 364 other days in the year in which dolls can be given to little girls. Why must those dolls first pass under a green tree before they can have them? And those last few words I have mentioned about the infant sacrifice are not in my booklet, Is Christmas Christian? I know the little dolls at Christmas are symbolic of the offering of a baby as a sacrifice to Baal, but when I wrote that booklet, I didn't have the heart to put such a brutal truth in my book. Anyway, there is already enough in there to stop any true Christian from keeping such a pagan festival and going through such pagan rituals. Let's go back to the book, continuing to quote. The idol worship under green trees is condemned in the following scripture. You should read them. 1 Kings 14, 22-23, 2 Kings 16, verse 1-4, 2 Kings 17, verses 9 and 10, 2 Chronicles 28, verse 4, Isaiah 57, verse 3 and 5, which we've already read, Jeremiah 2, verse 20, Jeremiah 3, verse 6 and 13, Jeremiah 17, verses 1 and 2, and Ezekiel 6, verse 13. There is further condemnation of those who cut down a tree for any kind of worship service in Jeremiah 10, part of which reads, "Learn not the way of the heathen, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, they deck it with silver and with gold, they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither is it in them to do good. They are altogether brutish and foolish. The stalk or the tree is a doctrine of vanity." That's Jeremiah 10. The tree was also used in ancient pagan festivals to symbolize rebirth. A log called a yule log was burned to symbolize the death of the Father God, and then a green tree was set upright to imply his reincarnation in his Son. This was followed by placing gifts under the tree, in effect offering the gifts to the god or the idol represented by the tree. Then, all pagan nations, the sacrifice gifts were then distributed to the worshipers to consume. How many millions of families in Christendom perform this pagan ritual every winter at Christmas? May God open their blinded eyes. And by the way, this is the exact ritual which is done in Moscow and other cities in Russia under the communists every year. In fact, I have a newspaper article in my Christmas file that tells me that the communist government cuts down the trees and puts them on sale every year in December for the people. The writers of the New Testament warn Christians against partaking of things offered to idols in Acts 15, verse 29, Acts 21, verse 25, 1 Corinthians 8, the entire chapter, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 18 through 21, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 28, and Revelation 2, verse 14 and verse 20. Those passages should be enough to make any believer stop and think. I'll quote 1 Corinthians 10, verse 22-21. "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." And that is in 1 Corinthians 10. The green Christmas tree is but the modern version of the pagan custom of offering gifts to idols and then consuming the gifts themselves. It is of the cup of devils. It is not Christian. In the booklet, Is Christmas Christian?, which will be included in the packet, I also explain the origin of the three wise men by showing from the scripture that the three wise men of the Bible did not appear for at least 2 years after Jesus was born, whereas in the modern rituals of Baal, they have three men attending the birth of the baby Jesus. That is all explained in the booklet. I mentioned candles, and candles and candlesticks are mentioned a number of times in Scripture and relate also the candle of the wicked, which is to be put out, according to Job 21:17 and Proverbs 24:20. In Jeremiah 25, God promises to take from Babylon the light of the candle. And in Revelation 18:23, as the destruction of prophetic Babylon the Great, mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, is complete, we read, "And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee." The burning of candles as a religious ritual is a pagan, not a Christian ritual. All right, let's go into more detail in the time that we have on the exchanging of gifts. There is no instruction in the Bible for the mutual exchange of gifts among believers for any reason. Yet all of the pagan midwinter festivals included gift exchanging. It seems significant that the only mention of such a time in the Holy Bible is in the apocalyptic story of the two witnesses of God being killed in Revelation 11. Their death seemed to bring such joy to the ungodly that we read in verse 10, this Revelation 11, verse 10, "And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another." Isn't that strange that the actions of the ungodly at the death of God's prophets is identical to the actions of the Christmas celebrants, the exchange of gifts? Well, of course, it is not strange, once you get it into your thinking and understanding, that the celebration called Christmas is not Christian in any way, shape, or manner. It is pagan. Naturally, it would have pagan rituals. How about the eating of ham at the Christmas dinner, which is so common? In spite of the very plain order in God's law that we are not to eat the swine or the pig, that's in Leviticus 11, verse 7 and 8, "And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch, he is unclean to you." In spite of that plain word of God, most Christians eat it all of the time, and especially make a great show of having their Christmas ham on December 25th. They may not know that in the ancient Egypt and Greek worship, the son of the mother god was believed killed by a wild boar, which was then killed by the mother god prior to the resurrection of her son. In commemoration of this act, the worshippers would kill and offer as a sacrifice a pig, which was then eaten by the celebrant. Diana, who is mentioned in the 19th chapter of Acts, was often portrayed in ancient literature with a dead boar or a boar's head. And in a woodcut, which we have reproduced in my booklet, the Roman Emperor Trajan is shown burning incense to Diana while a boar's head hangs on a tree. For over 3,000 years, it has been common among the pagans to kill and eat a pig at their midwinter festival of the return of the sun. In Rome, it was called the Feast of Saturn, and the boar was killed as a sacrifice to Saturn. The entire meal was cooked, often served with an apple or pomegranate in its mouth, and the custom still prevails in England and parts of Europe. In America, almost every Christian minister promotes the eating of swine flesh by his congregation. There are a number of other things which are covered in some detail in my book, Is Christmas Christian?, that you will receive when you write for the packet, and I'll give that address in a few moments. There are many other things I could talk about, but the story is almost too terrible to continue. How most of Christendom, even professing Christians, have been deceived by the forces of darkness into acting out the rituals of Baal worship in December. Most astonishing is the almost universal rejection of these truths about the origin of Christmas by the men in the Protestant pulpit. There seems to be only one answer for that, that many of them are not followers of the true Messiah, but may secretly be priests of the false Messiah of Babylon, and their job is to prate the name of Christ to the flock while diligently leading them in the way of Baal. Our Christ warned in Matthew 24 and verse 5 that many would come in his name, saying that he was the Christ, actually proclaiming that Jesus was the Christ, and shall deceive many. In Matthew 7 and verse 15, he said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing," meaning they would come to you professing to be believers. Jesus went on, "But inwardly they are ravening wolves." Paul voiced a similar warning to his followers in Acts 20 and verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." It seems a truth that if we will not hold fast to God's truth, we shall be deceived by men who claim to be Christians, yes, even ministers. May God grant this study on Christmas be used to enlighten and warn Christ's sheep for His glory in Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. The need for Christians, old and young alike, who would be faithful in Christ is to study the Bible, the Holy Word of God, and obey the true God of Israel. We have also produced in this booklet, Is Christmas Christian, a number of news articles which verify many of the things that I had said, and we have also reprinted most of the scripture passages that you have heard me quote over this broadcast the last three times. There are three articles in the booklet which should be of special significance. One tells us that the so-called Christmas was never celebrated by the Christians until it was celebrated in Rome in the 5th century after Christ. One other article is headlined, "East Berlin Gayer This Yule," and it shows in some detail how, in communist countries, Santa Claus and Christmas are celebrated. There is another one, "Dateline Moscow, Soviet Santa Saluted," which tells us that right in the heartland of world communism, they celebrate exactly the same way most people do in America. Yes, this so-called Christmas holiday is not Christian. It is pagan. And every Christian who has heard these broadcasts owes it to himself, to his children, and especially to Jesus Christ himself, to investigate those things that I have said on this radio broadcast. You write to me and ask for the free Christmas packet. In the seconds remaining, a final thought. The word Christmas means Christ Mass. A Mass is a religious ritual held for the dead. In effect, the word Christ Mass means Christ is dead. Also, the French word Noel has been adopted by non-Christians. There is one Hebrew word for God, which is El, E-L. Taken together, Noel says, "No God." Happy Noel is happy no God. Just as the phrase Merry Christmas is saying, "Be merry, Christ is dead." It fits what the ungodly did in Revelation 11 when they heard God's two witnesses were dead. They made merry and gave gifts one to another. Today they say and do these things right under our noses, defying our Christ, and we do not understand. May God forgive our ignorance. This is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.